Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Pat.
Bowman.
Present.
Shoup.
Here.
McNaughton.
Here.
Moblow.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Place.
Here.
Jeff Ross. Monica Ross.
Monica did call. She has, I believe, surgery today. She didn't know whether she's going to be able
to. Okay. Did they give her a job?
No.
No.
Okay. All right.
I'll make a motion to excuse Monica.
I've got a motion to excuse Monica.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Move on to consent agenda, the approval of minutes from April 19th, 2021.
Could be 7 acres, could be 10 acres. And that's basically how the negotiations go.
bring it up to this commission now. It seemed like an opportune time to talk about that.
Excuse me, Scott, where is that once again?
This parcel right here. So this is the 30 acres he owns right here, these two pieces. And this is the parcel that the church owns right here.
Right behind the brook.
Okay, so that is adjacent to the Jefferson.
Yeah, it shares this line right here. See where my hand is?
Right.
So the dark is the brook?
Yeah, that's the brook right here.
Okay.
This is Maddie Lane. And so this is the church party parcel. It's kind of a, like a flag parcel almost. It has a few houses adjacent up here on Cole Street or J.C. Lane now.
Is the church relocated?
No, I don't think so.
How old is that church? It's not that old, is it? 20 years maybe?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay. I've been here since I've been here.
Not that old.
But again, this is from him. The church had to talk to me and said what they plan, so
yep.
I'm just getting it from direction.
So from a land use perspective, it seems logical because it's next to the brook and it's next to his property.
Right.
I mean, two adjacent borders, so logically I would think that would make
sense. Well, it's, you know, suitable for development. It's close to water, sewer, and paved streets, so, you know, it could handle that kind of development.
Would it also make it so that we could have a second entrance?
Yeah, access out of the bowl there.
So. Yeah, because I knew that the proposed entrance, there was some worry about a lot of
traffic
and use on that, but. Okay.
How would that affect the homes that you say are up next to it? Would that affect their standing at all?
It's tough to say. You're going to have development. Higher density development next to it. I really can't say with any certainty what their effect would be on the brook, you're saying?
On the other side.
There's some houses.
There's like five houses on this little J.C. Lane, I believe it's called.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that road is not paved.
No.
And they're putting a new one right on the corner.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
That's here.
Exactly.
Yep.
But that lane.
Yep.
Now, do those homes? I guess it doesn't matter. I was going to ask if they have water and sewer, but I guess it doesn't matter.
Where is the actual church building? Is it on that
right up front?
Right in the bottom. Yeah. Right. So the church is not going to exist anymore. Is that?
I would assume. I mean, yeah. They're looking to sell. And okay. They said they may sell the land, they may sell the building.
Or they might keep the church and just sell part of it?
Possible.
We don't know.
And it's all subject to their negotiations, how much they want to spend.
Okay. I see it as a reasonable request, but I want to see what ends up out of negotiation.
Okay.
And then there'd have to be another public meeting about that for the neighbors and everything.
Well, yeah, but I mean, right now we're talking about the future land use maps over the. You have to keep in mind that we don't think specifically about the property owner, but the viability of that kind of development mm-hmm. on that property.
Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense.
Scott, what would be the. We're also discussing a PUD potential ordinance.
Yeah.
What would be the possibility that would want to be a PUD as opposed to a manufactured housing? I can see the need for an additional buffer behind those houses on what was that road?
J.C.?
J.C.?
Yeah. Additional buffer to have that.
There's already a line.
There's already a pretty significant line of trees.
Okay. Well, yeah, it is interesting. Okay, could I ask a question about the future land use? What is the difference between between a future land use revision and a master plan revision, it looks like they're exactly the same.
This is part of the master
plan. Yeah, this is part of the master plan, but we're just looking at the future land use map in this amendment, not the entire master plan.
Okay.
So we're just looking at the map and updating the map to be consistent with existing zoning and the additions that for new land that has been acquired by the city and deletions of land that has been transferred out of the city.
Right. Okay.
But the master plan, that update is probably going to happen next budget year.
Okay.
You know, the census data is kind of a key bit of information to use in your master plan, and that's supposed to be later this year, finally coming out at the municipal level. So we'll wait for that, and then...
So then this would be adopted as part of the master plan?
It is part of the master plan. So we are amending the master plan.
So we're basically changing it prior to the process?
No, we're going through the process. It's the exact same process. To amend the master plan as updated, so we're going through that process.
Okay.
Scott, one of the things is that it says mobile home park, and we probably want to change that to manufactured home.
Yes. I seen that, and I think we would make that.
Well, we made the change in sentence, so.
Yeah.
And then the other is the property that is for Cuckoo Web, correct?
Yeah. So this right here, 40 acres, is in the process of transferring into the city from White Valley Township. They both agreed to the 425 agreement. I think this has to be finalized. But basically, the trail runs diagonally right through here on this strip of land. And there's this portion entirely south of the trail is all the Cuckoo. And that was rezoned for planned industrial district. And then this north half is owned by the city. And with the anticipation of future development. There may be some thought process going, what would be the best use for this? I mean, along this ridge, there's an existing house, would this be suitable for some kind of residential use? Or maybe some kind of commercial use?
What about the workforce housing that they discussed?
That's something that may be anticipated there.
Yeah, but if it's zoned industrial, we allow housing now in the industrial park, don't we?
No, we do not.
Okay.
Just caretaking.
We were talking about that, okay.
Yeah, we were talking about that. We had that discussion about possibly changing the industrial district, and there was reservations about using that in its entirety over that district.
Yep.
Well, it's Fox Run coming in. Might not need workforce housing, but...
Statistically, we do.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. How fast are they going to come in? Because the manufactured home builders, there's quite a delay in getting units. So I know that Lady Village, they were able to acquire some, so they will be able to get homes, but they did. Mr. Bradshaw, I don't think they would do that. Have a waiting period to get some homes on this side.
What is the status of the manufactured home ordinance? I think a few months ago we recommended to take out that 10 units per acre.
Yeah.
And then revise it to the state ordinance.
Right. And I was waiting until we do some other ordinance amendments to bundle those. Because basically we have to eliminate one line. Uh-huh. And it's kind of expensive to go through the publication process, so we can bundle a few, it's a little cheaper on the city, and I didn't see a dire need to make that change, I assume. So.
Okay. So if we have any changes that we would like to do in some of the classifications, we should bring them up right now.
If you have any amendments that you think should be discussed, yeah, sure.
Yeah,
but we're talking about the future land use map right now.
Oh, I understand. I understand. What I would like to see is we've got a medical area and a professional office and a neighborhood commercial that are all very clustered together. They just seem like they're very similar uses. Okay? As well as there are some residences mixed into that area. I like to create a new classification called mixed use. It has been working very well in other cities.
A new zoning classification?
A new zoning classification called mixed use.
Okay.
That would encompass buildings that can go back and forth between residential to office, back to residential if need be, all mixed together in one neighborhood. Because I think you already have some of that in these areas.
Okay, but you're talking about creating a new zoning district.
Yes.
Okay, we're talking about future land use, man.
You mean the ones we already have.
But this is part of the master plan, is what you said.
Right. So you want to create a future land use category as mixed use that would correspond to the zoning and then develop a zoning district for mixed use.
Yes. That is what I would like to see.
Isn't that kind of allowed already in downtown core? Isn't that what?
Yeah, mixed uses are allowed in CBD already.
Right.
Mixture of residential and business uses are allowed.
I mean, all I'm saying is the terminology just doesn't seem to make any sense. That, you know, it's primarily professional office, yet you've got plenty of residences in there. So
right, but this is a guidance for going forward, what we would like to see in those areas.
Correct.
Even though there are already homes there,
yeah,
we eventually want that to progress out of it. And it's really good to have an area that's already set up as medical, like set aside as a medical area in Boyne City, so we know where we would like to see it centralized.
Okay, so you're saying would like to see not a mix of residential and
eventually,
office, but primarily office.
Yes, but eventually move out of that. So
okay.
As homes get turned over, and that's what the future land use map does. Gives people a guide for this isn't.
Oh, correct. Correct. No, I understand, but I'm trying to give much more flexibility. Here we're looking for residential flexibility to have residential.
Sure.
Why not give more flexibility by having a mixed use area?
Okay. Well, if that is something we're interested in as a board, then we should just be looking at coming up with a new district that could accommodate that.
Mm-hmm.
But then at that point, we would need to ask Scott to find some examples of that being used in other cities, some way of having something to look at.
Right. Well, when I was on the Planning Commission in the City of Plymouth, we created one that was quite successful.
Cool.
So,
for example, are you thinking of State Street?
State Street could be another example.
You've got
businesses along that.
Yeah, you have the eye doctor, you have an insurance company, you have a party back up and down that corridor mixed in with residential. I guess I'm looking for an example.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've got, you know, these zoning areas right there. You've got down State Street and certain portions of it. You've got Boyne Irrigation mixed in with residential also.
Sure.
And all these things can go back and forth.
Now, I would love to see that corridor along State Street be very similar to like what you see along 31 in Charlevoix coming in from the south side. You know, because so many of those old, really cool houses have been converted to commercial and been upkept, and I mean, it's a really attractive entrance into Charlevoix when you come through there now. I concur with that. I think giving some flexibility, because I know we've had a couple people wanted to do commercial things along there, and they've gotten shot down because of the zoning. Despite the fact that there are businesses there.
Yeah, I mean, it would not necessarily be right close to town,
let's concentrate on the future land use map, and then we'll, later on, we'll ask, how about in the good of the order? We'll talk about that for the future meeting. Does that work?
It's, all I'm saying is, that's why I asked the question, why is this different than the master plan? And it appears that they are one and the same, so.
Well, the master plan.
If we're kind of doing this, a master plan task already, you know, is it appropriate timing, so.
Sure, sure. I think that's a little bit more of a comprehensive discussion though.
Yeah.
Than just what we were doing with this.
Okay.
Okay?
So back to the 425 parcel. So obviously, the south half, you know, should be categorized as industrial. North half, you know, it would match the existing zoning, but, you know, is there some discussion there that's maybe, think about other uses that may be appropriate there?
I think we should hold off on that north side.
Scott, my question is, would they have access via that road right there? Like, how would you get to it?
The driveway access to the north, from Lexmar, that's going right here, it's gonna connect up to Lexmar Drive. And that's gonna be a private road, or a public road, so that will provide access to this parcel.
North of the trail.
Yeah, remember that driveway had the shipping around this area, and then drive across the trail and connect to Lexmar Drive. So that will be built to, you know, public road standards, and then, you know, an access point to this property will be all of that.
So there's a desire for additional residential. Would that be appropriate to add into a residential classification?
That's why it'd be brought to you for discussion.
Well, if the main access to it is through the industrial park, I don't think that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
I think it needs to go to all industrial for now until we start thinking of a better way of doing it.
You know, or that manufactured housing would be appropriate there?
It could, but there's a call for it right now.
Well, I agree, Aaron, that industrial makes sense, but I want the flexibility, and I'm back to the discussion I had a couple months ago. I think residential in a industrial would be a good thing. Now, I was a minority. I think we didn't follow through with that, did we?
No, we did not.
We did not follow through. And the question back then was, okay, a second story, business on your first story, residential on the second story, but I could see that that could be more of an apartment complex.
That's what I was
thinking. Yeah, multi-family.
A multi-family, three-story apartment complex.
Yep.
But we nixed that conversation 2, 3, 4 months ago, so.
I think when we nixed that, it was in regards to a specific building, though.
Okay.
And I think we're talking about the whole industrial park as a whole at that point.
Yeah. Right, not a specific area that is adjacent to
I see an apartment building there. No. If we needed it.
So if we did see an apartment building and we saw industrial, how do you think the two zoning mix?
That's a good question. may have some other kind of a category, some kind of a residential overlay or something on the industrial part areas that are designated for that. Because I think that was kind of the discussion before that, you know, there may be appropriate places in the industrial park that could accommodate some residential, but the entire district wouldn't be suitable. So, you know, maybe there's some kind of identification of areas in the industrial district that may be suitable for, you know, residential development or some kind of mix.
development.
What if we zone it something that is somewhat residential, such as a multifamily or mobile home or manufactured home, and then allow it to be developed for the PUD process that is being brought up this
right, time. And that's why you want to be consistent with your future land use map. This is the planning map that kind of identifies the preferred district that you want to have it classified as.
But being adjacent to the bike trail as well as adjacent to the community recreation, it seems like it could be. It could go.
Even maybe a motel. That may be a suitable kind of use.
Oh, that would be a good one, too.
But what happens if tomorrow an industrial plant wants to move it?
I don't see a motel back there.
No, I don't see a hotel either.
There are, in some communities, do have hotels in as part of a business park.
Oh, yeah.
But it's, just because of business travelers, but probably, much bigger community.
You go downstate, you got hotels next to shopping malls, right, or industrial buildings, and so.
And I'm not glad about multifamily housing in there either. Kids ride their bikes out in the same area where big trucks are unloading from all these industrial places.
There are going to be bikes out there already, that's not true.
Although the bike path.
I mean, there's bikes down here, but I just have a rising earlier possible to buy my house. Air brakes going. I think that the fact that it's on the outside or the outskirts of the industrial park, backing up against, the community recreation area, for if we were looking at a housing aspect, that in of itself, where it's not dead center in the industrial park, is key toward noise control, livability, and still have access into the park for those that may utilize it, such as a worker, especially with the way times are now, then you wouldn't have to necessarily have a vehicle to get to work. You can literally walk. Instead of being way over here at the apartment complex on the other side of town. We gotta look at what the workers are needing, and they need more affordable housing, which would be an apartment complex.
Yeah, high density. I don't think the manufactured home community is high enough density.
I agree.
And I also agree with you, we have 1,000 jobs in that industrial park currently, adding 200 more when the Fuki builds next year. 1,200 jobs, what a great place for housing.
And a lot of that could be coming from the employers themselves. The Fuku could look at it, or any of those others, Lexamar, and say, look, we're going to smash this up. We could potentially provide housing for people right here instead of waiting for a private developer to come in.
Scott, what is the difference in density between manufactured home and multifamily?
Manufactured home is nothing right now.
There's no difference in the density of manufactured home and multifamily?
No, because remember that ordinance?
Right.
10 units per acre, that's what it is for multifamily. But that's going to change.
Right, that'll change as per state. Right. Regulation.
So in reality, it was only about 5, right? 5 or 6?
Yeah.
And what's going on with Cox Run?
That's less than
5. Yeah.
If we zone that as industrial, how difficult is that cap?
It's zoned industrial now.
Okay.
And it's just the same process, public hearing, city commission, first secondary. So, you just want whatever you do to be consistent with your future land use.
Although that has not affected rezoning in many of these cases.
I'm torn because if we zone it as residential or mixed use, then if we have another company come in and wants to build something.
Skyler, right now it's industrial. This is just like a wish list.
Okay.
What we would like it to look like.
All right.
It's a template for what you want to see.
So if they came in, it's still industrial now, but by having it be the future use, us saying we want to be multifamily residential. Then when somebody looks to build in Boyne City, they're given the master plan as part of the decision making. And they can say, oh, well, that's a great idea. Why not do that? So.
Gotcha.
So I guess with that being said, keep it industrial. And future use wants it to be residential, then we can rezone it and or relook at our industrial as a conditional use would be high density residential.
Right. And this would be, and if we added this to the future land mass, it would just be another reason for us to want to do it.
Or you could look at some kind of future land use designation for industrial that includes a residential component or specifically identified parcels. That was kind of the discussion that we had.
Sure.
You know, there may be on the periphery, but some other specific area that would be suitable to not draw the park. So,
I apologize. I have an emergency. I need to go. Sorry, guys.
Scott, what? This is the adjacent land to what we're talking about here, off to the side. Is that Boyne Valley Township?
Yeah, this is all Boyne Valley.
And is that rural?
This area here is a rural residential. Along M75 is commercial.
Mm-hmm. But up adjacent to the parcel we're talking about is rural residential?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would. That's a good point. Thank you for bringing that up. I would hate to be putting in the industrial that close to other rural, but you know,
it is.
Can. I know it is currently.
Most people don't like it.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if somebody comes along and wants to, you know, they work out a whole separate arrangement to buy that property and then comes to us with something. I agree. I think you ought to leave it industrial. And you know, you know our feeling on this, and mm-hmm. people come to you and looking for property that's for multifamily.
And to touch on Larry's point earlier, you know, this is the guy. It's not written in stone that you shall follow every aspect of this map. You can consider other factors and changing situations and you know, deviate from the future land use map if you feel it's warranted.
Are there vacant parcels still within the industrial park?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
but they're all like 3-4 acre size.
Okay.
So there's something really large.
I guess I may be just a minority here, but I'd like to see because we have the kind of parallel to M75 is commercial and then setback is the rural residential. I'd like to be somewhat in harmony with adjacent land use in Boyne Valley Township and future use for that potentially be less intensive than industrial. That would be my.
See, I think that's the opposite. I think being adjacent to our industrial park, that's our problem. I don't really care if the corridor is Boyne Valley Township. I don't think our zoning should be receptive to their zoning because, here's why, any development in the township, they're going to have to come back to us with a 425 agreement for water and sewer.
Any significant development, yeah. They can develop it as, you know.
Well, yeah, they put it in their own private well and septic. That's usually not cost effective. So I'm saying, Larry, rather than you saying be compliant with the neighboring to the right, I'm saying being compliant with the neighbors to the left.
entryway is through the industrial park.
And as part of the process, the township was notified along with all the other adjacent jurisdictions in the county. So
it's already happened, basically.
So they have opportunity to input into this process.
All right, so at this point, keeping it as industrial for the future land use map?
I'd say so.
Okay.
Yeah, we do that.
And we have one other little change here. This parcel, or three parcels, that was a 425 agreement that expired, so those pieces have transferred back into the jurisdiction of the township. So those will be moved.
Where am I at here?
Right here is the bowling alley, so it's Pizza Pizza and the bank.
Next back to
the hotel.
And where every bird back to who?
Wilson Township.
Oh.
Why? Just recently?
That happened like 2017. The agreement expired and an agreement could not be negotiated between two parties.
I remember that. Okay.
Huh.
So was that become something else and the PC Pizza be demolished or something?
No, it's just converted back to township.
Oh, okay.
So they have jurisdiction over.
So, this is kind of off topic, but if they reverted back, they go back to paying township taxes instead of city taxes, do they also lose city water and sewer, or they didn't have it?
If they had it, they don't lose it, no. They just can't expand or connect if they didn't.
But, wow. So they kind of played the game where they got lower taxes from the township and they got water and sewer.
Mm-hmm. And they would still have to pay for that.
Well, that's the nature of how you write the agreement. So if you have it expire and then have to negotiate a new agreement, then you face that circumstance.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the sticking issues with the renegotiation that the township didn't want to have the property annexed after the agreement expired. And I think the city wanted that, saying to avoid this exact kind of circumstance.
Sure.
That's just going to be out at this point.
So it's out.
Yeah. Okay. Was there any other changes?
Let's see. I think there was. Well, I think there was another area. Here by the dog park, city owned property, like in this area, where the community garden is, and the potential for development there. Again, there's water and sewer there, high paved streets, city owned. Is there the ability to maybe transition that into some kind of residential uses.
Only as long as there's another spot flicker.
Isn't this part of our property inventory?
Yeah. And I think there was some talk at the school and there's building program, but they found other properties, so they're not interested in it anymore. But that doesn't mean that somebody in the future maybe. I think the talk was like single family units, kind of consistent with the neighborhood that's there.
And what is it now?
Well, it's vacant.
But it's inspected their zoning is as community surveys just because it's city owned?
I believe.
It's community recreation.
Well, that's the future land use designation.
Oh, right, right.
I think that right now it's zoned as a community service.
So if the schools wanted to build homes on there, would they need us, would they need to?
You'd have to change the zoning to provide that, you know, schools or anybody else that wants to do that.
So this is property that the city's looking to sell off?
There's part of the property that the city owns that could accommodate residential development. I don't think there's any, you know, current inclination to sell to anybody right now, but there's a potential that it could be.
Would the lot size be part of this large lot residential?
Well, yes, again, it's part of this process here. I think the surrounding area is all, you know, traditional residential district, and that's kind of how it's platted right down for the lot. So I think that would be, in my mind, probably the best fit.
Okay. Well, I definitely think that if we have options to provide more residential housing areas, I think we should, you know, give that. I mean, I would be in favor for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, especially when we have this other part coming in, you know, the PUD, even if we do it residential, if they buy two or three of them or whatever, however many is there, they can overlay it with this.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. Gotta have a dog to live there, but.
Those are the items that stuck out at me, so if there's any.
I just have a couple questions. So on this future land use, there's two different things, the residential open space. What's the difference between that and a large lot?
So basically, the size of the area designated, you know, the open space is a little larger, footprints, a little larger lots.
Okay, because I'm looking at.
It seems a very subtle distinction, I would agree.
Is there any, is that another one that we can kind of like, and, you know, if there's a subtle distinction between the two?
Yeah, I think it would make perfect sense to combine them into one kind of, you know, residential designation.
And is that something you would draft and bring it back to us?
Oh, yeah, no, this is just the beginning of this discussion, so. I intend to, you know, incorporate our discussion here and bring this matter back for the discussion. And, you know, additional changes may be brought in the future, but once it's all ironed out, then the public hearing will be held, and then we have to mail the map out to all the adjacent districts and to the county for their review period that comes back, and so it's a pretty lengthy process.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what if, can you maybe provide what, like, one main distinction between the two would be, like pros and cons between the residential open versus large lot? Because, like, on this part here, they literally, like, overlap in the lot sizes. You know what I mean? Like, half is one lot, is one designation.
Right, yeah. And that's the nature of future land use masses. They oftentimes don't adhere neatly to lines.
To boundaries, right.
discussion, PUD?
All right, I made my first attempt at writing this ordinance. I used some portions of the old one, portions of the ordinance that Steve Schnell provided, and now I'm writing this concept. Basically, we're looking to have an overlay available for the traditional residential district and the rural estate district. And by using this overlay, we could potentially get a little higher density, and you could have a little more freedom in how you develop in regards to the building. So, you know, the minimum dwelling size and the level width, those would be a subject of planning commission review and approval, and maybe relieving setbacks and that kind of thing. So that would be the motivation do this. The process would be a two-step process as it's written here. It would be a preliminary review, that would be a public hearing, and there would be a final review, which again would require a public hearing. So you have two hearings on this. And there's timelines of how soon you can submit within a time limit. You need to preliminary plan, the final plan, and that kind of thing. So again, this is the first draft. You know, there may be things you want to change, or a different process you want to input, but it's just being brought for discussion at this point.
Okay. Thank you, staff.
I do believe when you brought this to us, it was stress that this would be something that's not short-term weekend rentals. I don't see anything in here that kind of goes over that.
Right. I think it wouldn't be appropriate to put that in this particular ordinance because there may be other ordinances to develop to deal with that issue. So I know the city commission is going to be getting an inventory. And then we're going to look at the units in the city and determine what actions need to take. So,
right. And for right now, with the eligibility criteria that we'd be going over in our meeting, they have to provide the recognizable benefits of converting over this would be cohesive with the neighborhood. There are more things that would be discussed during a public hearing that we could still discuss about it being district members and all that. The city commission handling that issue would be more important. And then the overall ordinance for everything, rather than have a piecemeal. Does that make sense?
Yes, but if one is not drafted at city commission to go over short-term rentals specifically, like in the meantime, if this one's going in first, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but then it would only be dealing with the PUD. But yeah, I think I see it as something that if we put in, we would have to take out later.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
have you guys seen that there's state legislation that would not allow cities to control that kind of stuff at all?
Yeah, we've been heard today. Basically, it would eliminate the ability for a municipality to regulate short-term rentals any differently than you would a single-family or a commercial district home. So you have to treat them exactly the same.
In the past, the courts have held before the cities, though.
But this is like the court action. This is the legislature that would change the Planning Act and Zoning Act.
Gotcha. So then it would kind of be...
That would be a lot of land. It's kind of like, you know, there are other specific uses in the Zoning Enabling Act that are specifically identified, and the city has no ability to regulate them.
There goes local control.
That's the argument, yeah. Hard to regulate private property.
Just a couple, a few minor comments on it. I don't know if they're minor, 2.20 density.
Yep.
In second A, there shall exclude land areas proposed for non-residential uses. Mm-hmm. Okay, but then under B, land including the calculation of dwelling unit density may include bodies of surface water or wetlands. I would want to change to exclude. You know, if you've got a large site that half of it is wetlands, does that mean you put double the density what this is allowing?
No.
So that's what you're saying, you know. You know, one unit per 3,000 square foot, that's basically a small city lot, 60 by 50.
Yep.
So then, if you've, that seems to be a very, very good number, so that if you've got a large parcel that's 20,000 square feet, can you then include with wetlands over half of it, then can you include the wetlands and squeeze the rest of the units per one per 3,000 square foot on just the half of it?
Again,
according to the
obviously, yes, they can use that as part of the density calculation. True, but the planning commission also has the ability to look at this and in those determinations, that recognizable benefit and, you know, design, all those characteristics are part of your determination.
Well, with all due respect, some of these things seem very, very arbitrary. And in the past, is when they meet the letter of the ordinance, we have not a whole lot of flexibility.
Well,
to social economic impact, that to me is very arbitrary. You know, there's reduced perimeter setbacks show the reduction is the best interest of the community. You know, that to me sounds very, very arbitrary. And also, someone would dispute that. As opposed to the hard and fast numbers. So that's why I'm saying under B there, I would put that exclude bodies of surface water and wetlands.
But by doing that, you could potentially limit any development beyond that. You know, if they did have, say, the 10,000 on there, even if they wanted to put two units on there, then they'd be omitted from that potential.
No, so I disagree. What's the difference? Exclude land areas for non-residential uses, clubhouses, etc. You know, you've got non-buildable site, and the rest of the site, you're going to just squeeze a bunch of units in there that would be very, very dense.
But again, this is a conditional use. It's not a use of right.
Yeah.
So it's subject to the determination and discretion of planning. So you can make that judgment call, but if it's too dense, even though it may meet that minimum side requirement, that it can't be allowed. So there's discretion.
Okay. Yeah, the other comment would be the dwelling units be spaced in them under 1822 last page, number 6, spacing them a little 10 feet apart.
Yep.
Is that similar to manufactured housing? What is the manufactured housing spacing?
Well, in the traditional residential district, houses can be 10 feet apart.
They can be 10 feet? Okay.
Yeah, because you have a side yard setback of 5 feet, so you can have, you know, houses that close.
Okay.
My neighbors
are 10
feet from mine.
That's fine.
Scott, is that double A and that 18.2?
Yeah, that's that auto format you're calling there.
Okay. Just making sure. So when this, like you say, in other zoning ordinances, it's pretty much cut and dry. Like, you have to meet certain things, and I don't think we would overdict. So with the cut and dry thing, they come to us with a plan. If it passes, you know, X, Y, and Z, dots all their I's, crosses all their T's, we approve, they move forward. And this one, with it being a little bit more flexible, are we able to give feedback for them to correct or change their plan use to come back to us?
Yeah, that's the whole point of...
Because I know before we really didn't have a lot of...
Well, that's the difference between conditional use and use by right.
Okay.
Use by right, if someone submits a plan to you, that meets all your criteria, you have no decision other than to approve.
Correct.
Because they met everything that's in your ordinance.
Right.
A conditional use, there's more nuance and there's more discretion. Not all conditional uses are appropriate in all locations, even though the ordinance allows that conditional use in that district. So you can say that the impact doesn't fit the community, it doesn't fit the area, so you can deny a conditional use much easier than you can site plan. And this particular ordinance has this two-tier approval process that has the preliminary site plan, and it requires a, you know, a pretty formal plan and a public hearing, and then the final plan, which is, again, you know, a more formal plan and a public hearing. So they basically have a, you know, two-step process that they have to go through, which is unique to any process that we have here.
So with the public input, how would that impact their... Is it just kind of the neighbors giving?
The typical public hearing is, you know, you're required to put notice 300 feet around, and directionally fall down, and then put notice in the paper so that, you know, they have opportunity to know about it and speak. So in that case, it would be just like, you know, other ones we do for any kind of resettlement or conditional use.
Okay.
So I guess my question was, you know, is this going in the right direction? This is kind of what we're talking about. I visited Steve to get some comments on that.
I think this would be, you know, good for some smaller stuff, like we talked about, the duplexes would be a big one. You know, I really feel like that could help bring in, you know, some of the larger families that maybe an apartment complex isn't suitable for.
And like the, what we were talking about from Harbor Springs, the area that has those houses that go around just a common walkway rather than a street.
I mean, or even, you know, you look at, say, aging families, you know, your aging parents, maybe you want them a little closer, or if you have a special needs child that maybe doesn't necessarily need a adult home center, but they want their own space, or, you know, we don't know family dynamics or whatever, but it provides opportunity for individual application, I feel. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that this could do is, you know, provide some flexibility in the structure itself, you know, getting away from that minimum square footage and minimum width, it allows the smaller homes, as, you know, because I don't think just in the schedule regulations allowing all those homes in all those districts would be an appropriate way to do that. This may be a better way where you can facilitate those in a much more controlled basis.
Yeah, and a lot of this was, you know, sort of recommended by Steve Schnell, the housing coordinator.
Right, yeah.
Trying to make it a little easier to have development, housing development, because we need it.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that I didn't put in here is the uses. So the uses of the underlying zoning district still control. So in the traditional residential district, you can have, you know, single-family homes,
think I was looking at this as an incremental kind of change, and then, you know, maybe if this turns out to work popular, maybe if you want to see additional density or units in the rural estate district, maybe allow that as part of this. Just starting off by, you know, looking at the per unit density and structure themselves.
No, I think this is a very good direction to start. Okay. And you said you heard back from Steve about this, or not yet?
I talked to him the other day. He said he wouldn't go over, but I haven't had any specific comments on it, so I'll talk to him again.
Okay. Any other discussion or questions on this, or? Okay. And then you're going to bring this again before the next meeting, or?
I will anticipate that. See what the agenda is looking like. Again, think about it. If you have any thoughts, let me know.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, well, let's move on to the planning commission appointment recommendation.
Now, what if you've listened to the whole meeting and he wants to just...
I know. Is that part of the meeting to get them out now?
It could, kind of should be required for, you know, a candidate for the planning commission.
I was always...
What they're getting into.
Recommended to come to meetings ahead of time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, a little easier though. All right, Tim. Can you tell us about you that we don't already know because your application?
So my name is Tim. I'm a resident of Morgan City. A licensed real estate agent. I heard about vacancies. Obviously, was interested. That was the point we reached with you, Aaron.
Yep.
Figuring out the progress or the process and getting, you know, on the appointment to get on the board. So, I mean, is there any specific questions you guys have for me specifically, or?
Can I just see your face for a minute?
Sure.
I just want to see the face of somebody that I've been for.
Oh. Have you dealt with the planning commission at all for any other things outside, like?
So not specifically with this planning commission.
Sure.
But I own some property at Silver Lake and Golden Township, and, you know, big experience. I mean, pretty much involved with like ORVs and ordinances, and, you know, the reclassifications, zoning and stuff like that. Obviously, from being real estate, you know, licensed real estate agent as well, a little bit of experience there in the terminologies and the concepts and, you know, the talking points there for it, so. But I've never served on a planning commission.
Oh, I understand. It was just an interaction with the planning commission. That helps. Because there's a lot of people that don't know what we do or are close.
Right.
Does anyone else have any questions for Tim or?
Yeah, excuse me. Tim, so you are running for city commission?
Correct, yes.
So, if you win and there's a primary in August and then in November is the election.
Right.
So if you win a seat on a city commission in November,
mm-hmm.
then you and I would be competing for the one seat liaison between the city commission and the planning commission.
Gotcha. Yep.
So I personally don't want to give up this seat.
Right.
So there is a conflict there if you do win. So there's kind of, it's out there that what if.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, you got any input on that?
Well, if he does win, either way, we're going to be in the same situation. Because of Pan, too, so we'll have only 8 members.
So I would not like to be excluded from this opportunity in case I do not win. I mean, it would be wonderful if I didn't win. I guess if it would be an issue as far as me having to commit my word of commitment now, if I did win, would I be willing to step back and vacancy that I'd be filling? Absolutely, I would. So that conflict of interest wouldn't be there, or wouldn't arise. But I wouldn't want to lose the opportunity being part of the planning commission in case I did not.
Fair enough.
And are those appointments just made by the city commission every 2 years, or is it automatically that?
No, they're made.
I believe this would be fulfilling the I'd be fulfilling the term of Rose Newman, correct?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, their appointments are made by the mayor and confirmed by the commission.
Yeah.
And for how much? This is for Rose's term. How much longer does she have on her term?
Yeah.
I think 22.
As I said, 22.
Yeah, so she, two more years. Yeah.
I'm just kind of thinking about that. Okay.
But my question is would the new city commission decide which city commission member is the liaison to the planning commission?
Yes.
Okay. So who knows what would happen? You know, that would be up to the new city commission.
Right.
Regardless, we're going to be back on the 8th.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Just. All right. Okay.
Okay. Does anyone else have any other questions for Debbie?
Why do you want to join the planning
commission? So, the biggest, I guess, has been obviously since I've become a licensed real estate agent, I've done a lot to get involved with the community. Most specifically, my interest has always been there. When I was an operations asset protection manager, I always would do what we would call like chamber champions. So I worked with a different chamber of commerce for the different areas that I was working in. I worked in over 27 different facilities, so I was able to travel, you know, through the U.S. after I got out of the military. So I've always had that interest for like community involvement, outreach, I guess. You know, impactability. And so now, since I'm a licensed real estate agent and I create and craft my own schedule, I'm not, you know, it's not so much dictated by another entity or revolving around different situations or scenarios that may happen. You know, I've been involved with the Historical District Commission. I applied for that when that became available, put my name out on there, got on that. I'm involved with the Kiwanis, Hawaiian City. I'm awaiting an appointment for Charlevoix County Veterans Committee. I filled out that application. They're supposed to be meeting on the 26th, I believe, this month with that appointment. So, largely, the interest has always been there, but unfortunately, because of the schedule, I didn't have the ability. But now that I'm, you know, creating my own schedule and licensed real estate agent, I can manipulate my schedule pretty much around most of that. I have the ability now, so.
And I didn't hear what you said. What did you do before you got your real estate license?
I was an asset protection operations manager.
And where was that?
So it was for Bentonville, Arkansas home office for Walmart. Okay. I was a home office employee. Mm-hmm. So I got the opportunity to travel with the different market teams. So mm-hmm. I worked in four different states, Alaska, Michigan, Georgia, Wisconsin.
And how long have you lived in Boyne City?
That's a strange mix.
I've lived in Boyne City. I think I bought the house in 2017. It was September 11, 2017, yeah.
Are you a North Michigan?
What was that?
A lot of Nemechek's in East Jordan?
Yeah, so that's over in East Jordan on 32 in St. John's. That's my family, Phil Nemechek and them. Lawrence would have been my uncle, the one that was running the farm until Phil got it when Lawrence passed away. But yes, my family's originally from East Jordan. I spent all my summers up here and a lot of weekends up here. You know, I didn't live, I grew up in Sparta, Michigan, because that's where my dad ended up going after the military service. He was working in the automotive industry. So that's where quite a few of the Nemechek's went, but quite a few of them have migrated back to the area, obviously, especially back in 2010 when the big three took a lot of hits.
Okay. And then we have that one back from Rachel.
Okay. No, unless she came through the door on the lock.
Okay. All right.
You ready for a motion?
I would like a motion.
I would move that we recommend to the city commission that Tim Nemechek be added to the planning commission to replace fulfill the term vacated by Rosen.
Have a motion?
That's a motion.
Yep. Is there a second? I'll go ahead and second that. Is there any discussion about this? Okay. Roll call, Pat.
Bowman?
Yes.
Shute?
Yes.
McNaughton?
No.
Moblo?
No.
Needhammer?
Yes.
Place?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries.
Thank you, Ken.
I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And staff will be in contact with us?
And this is the email that you got on here, Tim, at realestate1.com?
Yep.
Perfect.
Thank you.
All right. Move on to staff report.
Not too much, just a lot going on. You may have seen the people who give us web cleaning their site, the Fox Run during their site. The Fox Run is probably going to be a year out before they get the construction and get units. Lakeview Village, they do have units, and those have got their peers, and they're probably be installing homes shortly. All good stuff. Lots of stuff going on.
Lakes of Lost Street? Or Lost Lake Street?
Well, we met with the contractor that are tearing the buildings down. They are probably going to start later this week or next week. And then they don't have a clear time period for when they're going to start construction. I think they're going to probably approach the state again to see if they can get another round of funding. And hopefully then they can start, but it doesn't look like they're going to start this year, hopefully next year.
Okay, so you let us know that before they're going to start demolition, just about now, after March Festival, that's not the case?
Yeah, they're supposed to. Actually, they called me the other day to get a demolition permit, and they directed them towards the county to get that. So they're getting their permits in place.
All right, let's move on to the order. So you were talking about coming up with a new zoning district that was a mixed use.
Correct.
Is there anything like that in other ordinances that you've heard of, Scott?
Well, I think we have my township has a mixed use. And I've heard of it before.
Sure.
But we have districts that allow mixed uses, but they have one specifically designated for that.
But this would just eliminate, it would basically merge a bunch of districts into one so it would be easier to identify. Is that what you're going for there?
Yeah, that's really what I'm going for. It seems that, the medical area, here you have, outside the medical area, you've got professional offices that are actually medical, eye doctor, et cetera, et cetera. So, it would seem like this should have a lot more flexibility to change.
We don't have a kind of...
And as well as combining a lot of small districts that seem very, in my mind, very restrictive and prescriptive. Of what should be there as opposed to having a little bit more flexibility, as well as adding things like state road outside of the traditional residential, where you get into the large lot residential, you've got mixed uses along the corridor, and that is appropriate in many cases.
But we don't have a medical district.
I'm sorry?
We don't have a medical district. We just have...
I'm sorry, is there not one showing?
That's the future land use map.
Okay.
So we would,
So there'll be some mixed use in the future land that you need to get.
Right, right.
As well as zoning. So I think it just provides a certain amount of flexibility.
I agree. I think we just have to have a little bit more information about what that would mean and what that would look like. Offer finding a way to have zone districts more flexibility, and especially opportunities for some districts to allow more housing within that wouldn't normally have it.
Correct. It just lumps a lot of small spot zoning that is just based upon what's historically been there, as opposed to having a little bit more forethought of what it could be.
Sure. Scott, could you just get something together for us, not for the next meeting, but maybe the following meeting?
Yeah.
That would be greatly appreciated.
Great.
So are you saying, like, a TRD should be mixed? Or are you saying there's just...
No, I think various areas that are conducive potentially for mixed business and residential, such as along the state route.
Which is TRD now, so that would be changed at classification.
Well, no, I would say within the TRD, it could be remain the TRD, extend the mixed use from the edge of the TRD out, where it's a large lot residential, where you do have currently offices such as...
Well, you have offices in the TRD right now. You have the electric office, you have the insurance office.
Okay, well then if that's the case, then...
Well, that's what I'm trying to understand. You know, are you looking at the corridor as a whole, or...
You could do that. You could do that.
Yeah, probably the best thing to do is bring the zoning map for discussion with this future land use map and kind of look at all those.
I mean, there may be other areas that would be appropriate as well. I mean, you know, just give them a mixture.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Scott. Right. Enjoying the weather. Staying outside.
I did meet with Tim Foss about a month ago about minor conservation, and there you're going to see a couple signs. I'll have to go to John Meg.
Sure.
And you're not there anymore.
I've been there.
That's my part. But they're going to make some signs for the minor conservation sites around the outline. Cool. So you'll see them slowly, hopefully, multiplying.
Excellent. Well, I guess we'll move to German, so I just need a motion.
Okay.
I have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, we'll see you back here June 21st.
All right.
Thank you, guys.